Oh, what's up, man? All right, guys, today's video is titled The Cold Hard Truth That Muslim Sales and Passport Bros Need to Understand is That You Cannot Run Away from What You Are. So I'm out here in Cartagena in Colombia. As you guys know, I go out to Colombia for business. I'm going to be, God willing, of course, setting up another restaurant here. As you guys know, back in Florida, I have a restaurant called Egyptian Shawarma. It's a food truck. So we are thinking, well, not thinking, but we want to open up a restaurant here in Colombia. So I was in Colombia for a couple of days. And thanks to Hurricane Milton, Spirit let me fly out from Cartagena instead of Medellin. And I didn't even have to pay a cent for it. So I just hopped on a plane from Medellin and I came here. Earlier today, hooked up with my Venezuelana, and God willing, tomorrow gonna be back in Miami. We have a food truck event on Saturday. Word up is that the food truck battery is dead, so hopefully it's simply as something as charging it up, and then we'll be able to go to the event on Saturday. I'm gonna be trying a new type of sandwich shawarma. I'm gonna be trying an authentic Arabic pita bread, which is a lot. It's a jumbo pita bread, so not only is it going to be more authentic towards what the Middle Eastern people are accustomed to, but we'd be able to charge more because, you know, you can fit a shitload of meat in there. So that's currently what I got going on. Server update is that we are still cloning from the old server to the new one. I think right about now we probably have close to 20 terabytes. As you guys know, we have about 50 terabytes of data that we have to clone over. So that's taking its sweet time. And the reason why it's taking so long to clone that data, we thought the data would be cloned in a couple of days. It's going to look like it's going to be cloned in a couple of weeks. And the reason behind it is that the hard drives are in RAID mode, which I've said in other videos, so I'm going to make it really quick. The reason why we're unable to copy the data as quickly as we'd like is because on the new server, we got two hard drives cloning one another. So if one goes bad, the other one takes over until you can get the one that went bad replaced. So this is why it's taken a lot longer than we anticipated. But again, it's simply the waiting game. That's all there is to it when it comes to cloning from the old server onto the new one. Anyway, so getting to the point of this video, what Muslim sales and passport bros need to understand is that you can't run from who you are or what you are, really. It's more of what you are than who you are, okay? Now, the problem with Muslim sales, before we get into Muslim sales, let's talk about the passport bros since I'm out here in Cartagena. Guys, when I first came to Cartagena almost a year ago during the height of the passport bro movement, when Steve Urkel's half-retarded brother was telling black people to come to Cartagena, this place was filled with black people, like black Americans, you know. Like, you got fucking Dusties, you got pretty much black sales coming out here. You know, the guys who couldn't get their pee-pee touched in America, even if they wanted to pay for it, they come out here, they make it rain, cash money, and a bunch of 304s. And at the end, they got scopamine, they got robbed, they got murdered. And then the last time I came here, a couple of months ago, the Colombian government started cracking down on the passport bros. You know, the mayor of Medellin was actually walking around the airport going up to black Americans telling them, hey bro, you're not gonna come here and fucking exploit our woman. You know, even though prostitution is legal in Colombia, they simply don't like the way that the passport bro movement mistreated the native woman, and quite frankly, rightly so. So as you guys know, last time I was here, I showed you videos all over Medellin where they had posters in English that said, don't even think about it, you're gonna go to prison for 20-25 years. Because a lot of passport bros, they come here to Medellin, Cartagena, and they have sex with underage women, you know. So the Colombian government was cracking down on that shit, you know, and again, rightfully so. Today, guys, I haven't seen a single passport bro out here, you know. I might have seen, you know, like one or two American blacks out here, but I'm not seeing anywhere near the number of black Americans who came here almost a year ago when I first visited Cartagena. And that's because, you know, Steve Urkel's half-retarded brother is in Kenya. For those of you who don't know who Steve Urkel's half-retarded brother is, he's that autistic retarded kid who cuts hair for $2.99 back in Texas. He's now in Kenya telling black Americans that Kenya is the place to be and that, you know, the women there, they just love foreign men and they will chase after you. They will adore you. Of course, all those are lies, you know. At the end of the day, guys, you need to understand the passport bro movement is a CIA psyop to have black people willingly self-deport. That's really what the passport bro movement really is about. And not only that, you know, I knew a couple of black guys in a travel WhatsApp group that I'm part of. They wanted to go out to Kenya because, again, Steve Urkel's half-retarded brother is promoting Kenya like it's the best thing to happen since sliced bread. And they're like, whoa, 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 whoa. Kenya has a high rate of HIVs. You know, Africa in particular, Kenya in general, has a very, very high case of HIV, okay? So if you're gonna go out and you're gonna sleep with dirty, dirty sharmutas, which is what the passport bros do, there's a very big chance you're gonna get HIV, okay? So a lot of black people out there, they're just running from who they are, from what they are, okay? It's really not who you are. I mean, just because you're a passport bro, just because you're a Muslim cell, doesn't necessarily mean that you're a bad person as who you are, but what are you, okay? Are you an ugly person? That's a problem. Are you an imbecile? That's a problem, okay? So what the passport bros and the Muslim cells do is that they travel all over the world thinking that if I just hop on a plane, go somewhere else, you know, I'm going to go from dud to stud. You know, I'm going to go from being, you know, an ancient nigger fucking flipping burgers at Popeyes to being, you know, the top 1% in Kenya. This is why Steve Urkel's half-retarded brother is making videos telling black Americans, you know, if you come out to Kenya, you're going to be in the top 1%. You know, you're going to go play polo. You're going to smoke cigars. You know, you're going to have political contacts. You know, the elites are going to love you. The women are going to throw themselves at you. And again, all these are effing CIA assets. At the end of the day, guys, you need to understand, and you understand this really good. I don't care if you're black. I don't care if you're Muslim still, okay? You guys need to understand this and understand this really good. At the end of the day, there's nothing more Satan wants than to say to God, look at how stupid the descendants of Adam are. You got these ugly looking short brown Muslim cells believing that if they go take a course called Muslim Alpha Male, where they hop on a horse, go la 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 with a sword, that women are gonna find them attractive. Of course, that could not be farther from the truth, you know. Look at all these dusty black dudes, you know. You got fucking 50, 60-year-old black men coming. You know, again, during the heyday of the passport bro movement in Colombia, I can't tell you the number of dusty old black men, 50, 60 years old, walking around town, you know, like Jay-Z in his prime, you know, fucking sad more than anything else. So at the end of the day, Satan is saying to God, look how stupid and dumb and easily fooled the descendants of Adam are. And again, the Muslim grifters are making a shitload of money. The passport bro grifters are also making a shitload of money. And then at the end of the day, what happens? You know, if you're a passport bro, you get scopamined, you get robbed, and worst case scenario, you get murdered. If you're a Muslim cell, worst case scenario, actually, I think it's even worse for you guys. You don't end up getting robbed or murdered. you end up getting married to some hojabi who's forever gonna ruin your life through divorce, rape, and what have you, okay? But the reality of the matter, guys, is that what you are matters more than anything. And I'm gonna venture as far as to say that you, as a passport bro or a Muslim cell, you are really better off in America than going to a third world country. And I'm gonna tell you why. You see, in America, if you're an ugly looking dude, bitch is gonna let you know straight up, they ain't gonna fuck with you like that, okay? If you are an imbecile in America, most dudes don't wanna even hang out with you. But if you come to the third world, whether it's Kenya, whether it's Colombia, whether it's Egypt, whether it's Pakistan, and you're fugly, the local women are gonna string you along while pretty much taking everything out of your bank account, you know? The local men, if you're an imbecile, they're gonna, oh yeah, brother, I'm gonna make big business for you, give me money, you know? They're gonna fucking take your money, okay, guys? So, at the end of the day, you cannot run from what you are. If you're short, brown, and fugly, hey, man, that's just the way Allah created you, dude, okay? Either get yourself a woman so ugly that not even a dog will look at her, or, you know, pay top dollar to get Stacy, okay? But at the end of the day, the vast majority of you Muslim sales and passport bros out there, you're not gonna have a woman who's gonna genuinely desire you, okay? In the thumbnail, guys, you guys see me with my Venezuelana. I've been with this girl for several months now, and it's right there in the picture, dudes. You know, it's right fucking there in the pictures, okay? We're having fun, we're enjoying life, okay? All I'm gonna say is, and I don't want to get too degenerate or anything like that, but we had fun today. That's all I'm gonna say, dudes. And we had a lot of good, you know what, you know, the kind of stuff that I do with Yogi Ob's mom, but only when I have $75 in my pocket for Yogi Ob's mom. The point that I'm trying to get across to you guys is that a lot of you guys out there will never ever have genuine desire, okay? You just won't have it. That's a Nagasaki Hiroshima black pill truth of the matter. You will never be desired by a woman. And because of that, you guys are gonna believe in what Aaron Cleary refers to as, if I do 1, 2, 3, 4, I get pussy. You know, if I take out the garbage can, if I buy her that Louis Vuitton handbag, if I take her on that expensive trip to Tahiti, you know, if I do the dishes, you know, I'm gonna get pussy, okay? The reality of the matter is, guys, if women find you attractive, you don't have to do jack shit to get pussy, okay, guys? Now, at the end of the day, you guys need to understand this and understand this really good. There is no such thing as free pussy. Free pussy does not exist. Unless the girl is at a bar, she's DTF, free pussy does not exist. Especially if you actually want to have a relationship where you see the bitch again, okay? Now, as you guys know, I'm not into one night stands. I'm not about fucking some hoe and then, you know, not even knowing who her fucking name is. You know, to me, that's a degenerate lifestyle, you know? The girl I'm with now, I'm still with the Afro-Colombiana. It's just that she's in Barranquilla, I'm in Cartagena. You know, when I was in Medellin, she had to go to Barranquilla because that's where she's originally from, and she's actually gonna go to Poland in a couple of months. She's gonna go to Poland to work at a restaurant in Poland. You know, apparently there's an agency that hires Colombians to go work in Poland. So she's part of that. So that agency is gonna fly her out there. So she had to go to Barranquilla to get her original documents, shit like that, for immigration. So unfortunately, I couldn't hook up with my Afro-Colombiana, but I did hook up with my Venezuelana. And, you know, once I get that restaurant, God willing, up and running in Medellin, you know, guess who's going to be working there? The Venezuelana, you know. So at the end of the day, guys, I don't know about you, but when it comes to me, guys, I don't want one night stands, okay? I want to have an ongoing relationship with a woman, okay? So at the end of the day, guys, no matter what, you're gonna pay for a woman. Either you're gonna flat out pay a woman, you know, money for sex, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. Or if you are in a relationship, you're still gonna pay for sex. For example, this Afro-Colombiana girl I'm with, I helped her out with 100 pesos. How much is 100 pesos? $25, okay? In America, you can't even, you can't even have a nice meal by yourself at a restaurant for fucking $25 anymore. Here in Colombia, for the equivalent of 25 American dollars, I helped out my Venezuelana, and I got to have all the freaky deaky stuff I want to do with her, okay? So at the end of the day, guys, you need to understand there is no such thing as free pussy. Now in America, yes, you can have that free pussy, but you're not gonna have that relationship, dudes, okay? That's number one. Number two, going back to the point of this video, okay, if you are fugly and you have to simp for pussy, you're not gonna get... Look how happy I am, guys, okay? Look how fucking happy I am, okay, guys? Look, you can always tell when a man is with a bitch and he's dead on the inside. You can always tell that, guys. I see that all the time. I always see guys, I don't care if it's in America, I don't care if it's in Colombia, I don't care if it's in Egypt, even though I see it more in the Muslim world than I see it in any other place. You can always tell when a man is dead on the inside, because like Richard Cooper said, betatization with 1,000 cuts, you know. You can always tell when a man has a bitch who, effectively speaking, she ruined his life. But look at how happy I am, dudes. Why? Because I had this girl. Let me just tell you something, dudes. Let me just tell you something, okay? even though I was with this Venezuelana girl for not even a full 24 hours, let's just say Yogi Ob's mom doesn't have to... let's just say Yogi Ob's mom is not going to get her $75 for probably a couple of months, you know? That's how good it was with the Venezuelana girl. A lot of you guys out there, you're never ever going to have that type of intercourse with women. Let's get that out in the open right now, dudes. I want you guys to be realistic, okay? If you're a passport bro, if you have to listen to some retarded kid who cuts hair for $2.99, it's safe to say that you are an unimportant loser. Nobody, you're an imbecile and you're fugly, okay? If you guys have to listen to some fucking sheikh on YouTube who wears a diaper around his head and grows a beard and tells you, oh yeah bro, the key to gaining a woman's heart is to ride on a horse and go like this with a sword, la 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 la, your life is pretty much over, okay dudes? I am very, very blessed to know the difference between genuine desire versus a woman who's just in it for money, okay? As you guys know, I was married to a hijabi. And by the way, guys, just to give you an update on the hijabi of an ex, okay, just to give you an update. You know, I have mutual people who know her, they know me, and they've been telling me, yo, Amr, your girl, you know, she pulled the pin on the fat grenade, like Terrence Pop says. And after all those years of fucking fillers and Botox, her face, you know, is now is getting kind of deformed looking, even though she's probably she's younger than me by what, 12, 13 years, if I remember right. So she's early 30s, but yet, you know, she's overweight. her face looks deformed. And that's because, you know, she was all about the bling bling. She was all about looking like, you know, a top class escort, shit like that. So when she got with me, as far as she was concerned, I was like an oofy doofy. I was a beta bucks deluxe, you know. This is why I divorced her within a month. You know, a lot of guys, you know, I don't want to say a lot. Some people out there were like, yo, man, are you sure you didn't pull the trigger on the divorce a little bit too quick? It's like, nah, bro. She saw me as a beta bucks deluxe. That's all I was to her. It's not going to get any better. It's only going to get worse. And this is what I want you Muslim sales out there to understand, okay? If a bitch sees you as a beta bucks deluxe, it's only gonna get worse. It's not gonna get any better. This is what I want everybody out there watching this video. Guys, I cannot stress this enough. A lot of you guys out there will never, ever have genuine desire. If you're short, brown, and fugly, it's GG for you, okay, dudes? So I want you guys out there to understand, if you have to do 1, 2, 3, 4 to get your pee-pee touched, that's not genuine desire. You're simply a beta bucks deluxe, okay? This is why a lot of Muslims, they become doctors, okay? Because becoming a doctor, becoming a high-value man, like a lot of Muslim grifters out there tell you to do, that's how you get your pee-pee touched. But that's not fucking genuine desire, okay, guys? Again, I am blessed to the point, and you know, you guys saw me lose over 20 pounds since I first started doing videos, okay? You guys saw me face max. You know, one of the best, the two best things I've actually did, guys, no, actually three the best things I did, okay? But two of them you guys can do, okay? The third one was kind of like proprietary toward me, but I'll tell you, okay? The number one best thing I did, guys, is that I got the fat cheek pads here removed, okay? That was one of the best things I did for looks maxing. That's number one. Number two, sunscreen, okay? If you guys look at my videos today versus, say, 4 years ago, I am vastly better looking now than I was 4 years ago. In fact, guys, I didn't even have to have buttocks or fillers. Usually, I'd get buttocks and fillers, but I haven't done any of them in probably a year or more. Why? Because, again, thanks to sunscreen, thanks to properly taking hydrating my face, and again, sunscreen, okay, guys? I'm not the type of dude out there to go buy fucking 27 products from fucking Tej Hanley, which is just about every person in the manosphere now is selling. I don't do that, okay, guys? So I just use sunscreen, you know, the kind that you get from Walmart, you know. I get the type of sunscreen that easily blends in with my skin tone, so I don't walk around with white face, you know. Not to mention, I like the stuff that actually clears up quickly, you know, and it makes your face nice, and it makes your face, as you guys can tell, you know, my face is nice and oily. It's radiating. That's what it really does. So the two best things I've ever done, guys, in addition to losing, you know, 20 pounds of fat, you know, I actually lost 40 pounds, you know, like half a year ago when I was in Europe. I got down to almost 220 pounds. Because I was walking around Europe, I was eating, you know, chicken and vegetables. But when I came back to America and I got the food truck, I gained those 20 pounds back. Not because I was eating unhealthy, but simply because I just wasn't doing any exercise. I'm just sitting in a food truck all day, you know. So, best thing I ever did, guys, again, losing weight. Getting the fat pads here removed. Sunscreen, and the last thing I did is that I had a lip reduction on my upper lip, you know, because before that my lip looked like it was fucking crooked and shit like that, you know. So at the end of the day, guys, if you are like me you got the height and you're not inherently fugly like Coach Bitchpill, you can actually face max with simple surgeries and stuff like that, okay? Needless to say, guys, I got a full head of hair, so that helps tremendously. If I was bald, dudes, if I was bald, I would spend, I don't care, $2,000, $5,000, $10,000 to get hair, you know? Real fucking talk. If I was going bald, dudes, I would spend whatever type of money to get my hair back if I was going bald, okay? Hair is a big, big thing, you know? A lot of these Muslim grifters out there, they don't want you to look smacks. That's because if they tell you about look smacksing, then you guys are gonna know about the black pill and you're gonna realize that, oh shit, genuine desire is all about looks. It's not about, you know, it's not about, oh, me being a doctor, buying her Louis Vuitton, taking her out to fucking Aspen, shit like that, okay? Like, my girl, I took her out for fucking pizza, $5 pizza, you know? The Airbnb I'm at here, it's right by the airport, guys. The Airbnb I'm at is literally a fucking one-bedroom place. It's like, you got, it's kind of like, it's the place I'm at right now, guys, because again, because it's by the airport, it's literally a mini bedroom. That's what it is. It's literally a mini bedroom. Yet me and her had all the freaky deaky fun we had in there. Yet when it comes to you guys, you know, you have to have fucking, I don't know, 5-star resort, you know, Cancun, Hotel Zone, Aspen. But me, $5 pizza, fucking $20 hotel or an Airbnb that's really nothing more than just a bed in a small room, and I can still get all the loving that a woman who'd be genuinely attracted to me will give. This is what a lot of you guys out there fail to realize, because again, a lot of you guys out there, you will never ever, okay, it's a, it was raining earlier, so, okay, it's just water. I thought a bird took a shit on me. It's only water. That's fine. By the way, guys, out here in Cartagena, I have to admit, guys, you know, it's almost middle of October. Cartagena is a lot like Florida. It's hot. It's humid. But the good thing is when the wind picks up a little bit, it actually makes it a little bit nice, you know. That's a good thing about being by the ocean, whether you're in Florida, whether you are in Cartagena, is that if you have a breeze going on, and you guys can tell by the tree behind me, I got a breeze going on. You know, breeze, especially at night or even during the day, it really makes a big difference between, you know, hot, humid, like I can't even leave the door of the house to, hey man, I can actually go outside, walk around a little bit, and not feel fucking like I need to take 28 showers, you know? So, yeah, coming to Cartagena, guys, right now, it's really nice. They cleaned it up big times. Cartagena is, you know, see, you know, like we say in the Jewish world, you know, leave it to the Kushites to fuck up the unfuckable, you know? Like black people, American black people, of course, they fucked up Cartagena so bad a year ago that they actually did a good thing, because the Colombians, the local governments, the national government, you know, they were like, no, we ain't putting up with this nigger shit no more, you know. So they did a full 180. You know, like if you go by the clock tower, which is the entrance to where I'm at, you know, the citadel, fucking, you got fucking police all over the place, you know, because why? There never ever was police here in this area, but now there's a major police presence because of black people, you know, again, American black people, you know, because again, leave it to the Kushites to fuck up the unfuckable, you know, they fucked up so bad here in Cartagena and in Colombia in general, dudes, that, you know, a lot of Airbnb listings in Colombia, they openly say don't bring woman back here. If you plan on bringing woman back here, we're gonna kick you out, dudes, you know. We're gonna call the police and we're gonna have you evicted, you know. That's what they're doing. No, es bueno, señor. Gracias. No frío, no agua. Es bueno. Adios, señor. Bye-bye. Yeah, you're gonna get people like that walking around, you know, selling you stuff. He didn't persist. He knew I was doing a phone and shit like that. He didn't persist. That was nice of him, you know. So, you know, finishing up this video, guys, we're past the 30-minute mark, you know. I'm just happy the way Cartagena is right now, dudes. Because, you know, the first time I came to Cartagena almost a year ago, I would not be sitting around making a video like this. Because somebody definitely would end up, you know, robbing me, shit like that. But thanks to American blacks fucking up Cartagena so bad that now they clean the place up, you know. But yeah. Yeah, guys, I mean, this is a very important video, dudes, you know. You passport bros, you Muslim sales, you can't escape what you are. Again, who you are, you can be the nicest, kindest person on the face of the planet. None of that means shit to anybody, okay? At the end of the day, it's what you are. If you're a fugly-looking dude, woman ain't gonna mess with you like that, okay? If you're an imbecile, dudes ain't gonna mess with you, okay? You know, I'm a high IQ Jew, as you all know. Guys, I got business partners and associates here in Colombia. When I say business partners, I don't mean like legally we're in partnership, because I don't do that shit. I'm talking about they're more like business acquaintances, business associates, you know, not like a partnership in, because I'll never ever do a partnership, dudes. After what my second cousin did to me in Egypt, like fucking 6-7 years ago, guys, I am telling you this, and I'm telling you this right now, dudes. If I did the restaurant in Egypt on my own, I'd be a fucking multimillionaire by now if I did that shit on my own, you know? The reason why Egyptian shawarma isn't doing as good as it should be where we're at is because the location we're at, you know, yeah, it's on a busy street. Yes, no problem, you know? But the problem is, you know, this is not a location where people go to, like, shop, you know. This is why I tell you guys, you know, location, 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 you know. I told everybody here in Colombia that if I'm going to open a restaurant here, dudes, it has to be A1 location. I would rather have mediocre food in a high traffic area then have super good food in a mediocre area. That's how important location is. You know, in fact, yesterday I was at the San Diego Mall. I was actually scheduled this morning to have a showing of a restaurant space in a food court. So if any of you guys ever been to San Diego Mall in, not San Diego, the in America, but San Diego, Colombia, which is in Medellin. You know, if you've been to the San Diego Mall in Medellin, there's a food court on top, and that food court is on fire, you know. A lot of people go there. But the problem is that the location I wanted, not to rent, but wanted to look at, it was not in the center food court, you know. You know how food court goes around like this, you know, and people walk around like this, you know, kind of like walking around in a circle, right? Like a rectangle. Yeah, that was the food court. Now, the restaurant space I was going to look at, even though it was like 100 feet away from the main food court, nevertheless, it was hidden. You couldn't see it. So unless somebody knows where that restaurant is, nobody's gonna go out of their way to go to that restaurant, even though that restaurant is just 100 feet away from the main food court. And that restaurant, it costs 6 million pesos a month, which is about $1,500 American, you know. That's not bad for renting a space in a food court in Colombia. That's not bad at all. But the problem is it's hidden, you know. So I was talking with a Muslim guy who is from Trinidad, but he lived in Colombia for 30 years. And I told him about that space, and he's like, bro, don't even bother wasting your time. Just cancel the appointment with the guy. Because I told him, you know, that place was available like half a year ago when I came to the mall. He's like, dude, that's a major red flag right there. If that restaurant stall was available half a year ago and it hasn't been rented out, what does that tell you? Nobody in their right mind wants it, okay? So at the end of the day, guys, location is the most important thing out there, okay? I don't care if you are on a busy roadway, I don't care if you are on a busy roadway, but if it's in the middle of nowhere, it doesn't matter. I don't care if you are in a busy food court, but you're like fucking 100 feet away from the main food court, it doesn't matter, you know? So at the end of the day, guys, location, 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 you know? The restaurant we had in Egypt, man, that was in a place called Kafr Abdo. It's like the Beverly Hills of Alexandria, Egypt. I'm telling you, dudes, if I didn't have my fucking second cousin as a business partner, I'd be a multimillionaire by now, dudes, you know. But it is what it is, you know. I learned a very valuable lesson, which is don't have business partners, okay? I can collaborate, you know. Like, for example, you know, some people in the MGTOW community are saying, hey, Amr, we like Egyptian shawarma. We want to franchise Egyptian shawarma. Yeah, absolutely, guys. You know, look, MGTOW TV is a losing business. I've said that before and I'm said it again. MGTOW TV is a losing business. Rumble.com is a losing business. Why? Video sharing is not profitable. Every freaking video you have is a financial liability, not for legal reasons, but because of storage, okay? For example, we at MGTOW TV, we went out and we spent, what, $4,000 or $5,000 to buy a top-notch server to handle our videos. Imagine, okay, let me tell you something, guys, okay? We have 50 terabytes of data on MGTOW TV, okay? Over the course of 5 years, we have 50 terabytes of data on MGTOW TV. And in the grand scheme of things, as a video sharing platform, we're not even a drop in the ocean compared to, let's say, YouTube, okay? Now look at BitChute, okay? BitChute is pretty damn big, guys, okay? So if we have to spend thousands of dollars on servers, imagine Rumble will probably have to spend thousands of dollars on a server just probably per hour, okay, to keep all that content and the live stream. And you know, all these live streams, you know, like fucking Rumble has, you know, I and many other people, we think that Rumble probably flubs their live stream numbers by saying, oh yeah, look, there's a 5 million people watching a live stream. That's fucking bullshit. But nevertheless, they probably have several thousands or tens of thousands of people watching a live stream. So that bandwidth, that costs money. Storing videos costs money. Bandwidths cost money, you know. This is why I'd rather have you guys watch TFM over at Rumble than MGTOW TV. Because when you watch him, because here's the thing, dudes, a lot of people now, I was smart enough to create a pop-out chat on MGTOW TV. So you can actually pop out the MGTOW TV chat in a small window, and then in the big window, you can go over to Rumble, you know? So you're actually doing me a favor by watching on Rumble and then doing the live chat on MGTOW TV, especially when you guys donate, because I make commission off the chats, right? So at the end of the day, guys, I would much rather, you know, have you guys watching over on Rumble and donating over on MGTOW TV, you know? But in the grand scheme of things, guys, you know, when we get, you know, 100 people watching a live stream on MGTOW TV, that really doesn't affect our bottom line. It really doesn't, okay? And like I said, you know, every couple of years we have to spend, you know, several thousand dollars on fucking servers to keep up with the storage. Okay, fine. But when you're Rumble, and God knows how many thousands, if not trillions of terabytes you fucking have, you know, you're gonna be spending millions of dollars on storage and bandwidth, okay? So getting to the point of the tangent I went out on, you know, because a lot of people in the beginning were like, hey, Amr, I want to invest in MGTOW TV. It's like, no, bro, MGTOW TV is a losing business, you know? If I had ads, if I had sponsors, you know, it can be profitable. But at the end of the day, guys, you know, Mitwali Web Services took over the MGTOW Web Services took over the servers of MGTOW TV. And the reason behind it is that according to our family CPA, if MGTOW TV like loses money after 5 years, you know, the IRS might say, you know, that's more of a hobby than a business. It is a business, don't get me wrong. MGTOW is a business, you know, but you just can't have a business losing money. Now, companies like Rumble, because they're on the stock market, they got CPAs, they got lawyers, they got all that fuzzy math on their side, they can lose money and it's perfectly fine for them. But, you know, I'm not a publicly traded company. You know, I can't keep on losing money because the IRS is going to be like, hey, dude, what's up with that, man? Is that a fucking hobby you got going on? So this is why Mitwali Web Services, you know, officially owns the servers for MGTOW TV, because Mitwali Web Services is indeed profitable, you know. So point that I'm trying to get across to you guys out there is that if any of you guys wanted to invest in an Egyptian shawarma franchise, I am telling you guys, that is a fucking gold fucking mine, okay? So I'm not gonna be a partner with you. I'm not gonna go halvesies with you. I'm not gonna put up any money with you. I don't mind for the first few people to franchise out Egyptian shawarma. I don't mind, you know, putting up a little money to get the thing going, and then, you know, doing some sort of profit sharing to get the money back. But at the end of the day, that's going to be your baby. At the end of the day, that's your baby. At the end of the day, you know, you're the one who's responsible for everything. I'm not partners with you, okay, guys? So I will collaborate with other people, profit sharing, shit like that, but I will never, ever be in partnership with someone else on a legal perspective. Never, ever, okay? That's just how it is. You know, I learned my lesson. I'm never, ever gonna do that again, okay, guys? So, in conclusion, you know, we're almost going on the 45. Guys, it feels so good here. I think it's probably close to midnight by now. You know, the thing about these tropical climates, whether it's Cartagena or Miami, is that when it passes midnight, you know, one of the things I took notice of, you know, back in small town USA, is that when I come out of the pub, you know, at 2 o'clock at night, it's actually pretty damn nice, you know. So once you pass midnight in subtropical places, whether it's Cartagena where I am right now, or whether it's back in Miami, which is 1,500 miles, 1,200 miles north of us, what ends up happening, dudes, is that after midnight, when the breeze picks up, it's actually pretty damn nice, you know. So right now here in Cartagena, guys, as you guys can see, we got a breeze going. It's pretty much midnight by now. It actually feels pretty damn good to be here. But if you came here like fucking 4 hours ago, a little bit after the sun went down, especially if you're walking between, because this is a citadel, okay, guys? So this citadel, for the most part, is walled off. Not to mention a lot of these places are like crammed together, so the breeze doesn't come in. So when I came here a couple of hours ago and I was walking around the breezeways, not the breezeways, when I was walking around, you know, the inner area of the citadel, I was sweating like a dog, you know, because there was no breeze, you know. See, that's the thing. If you don't have a breeze in these subtropical climates, dude, the humidity is fucking gonna kill you, dude. That's just how it is, man. And the thing you guys have to understand about Colombia, because Colombia is close to the equator, there's really no change in the temperature, okay? You know, Florida, because, you know, it's far from the equator, you know, in summer, you know, Florida can easily be, you know, 9,500 degrees in summer. But in the winter, you know, sometimes Florida can get down into the 50s in fucking winter. You know, 50 degrees with humidity, dude, that's like bullets penetrating your skin. That's just how cold it is, you know. But here in Medellin, here in Colombia in general, the weather stays the same, you know. If, you know, here in Cartagena, if it's 85 degrees, it's going to be 85 degrees pretty much like 99% of the year. It's going to be 85 degrees, you know. If you're in fucking Medellin and it's 70 degrees in Medellin, it's going to be 70 degrees in Medellin just about all year long. Because again, they're closer to the equator. You know, the closer you are to the equator, you know, the more the temperatures are going to be the same. You know, that's a scientific fact. You know, that's not my personal opinion, you know. So here in Cartagena, guys, like the ocean is right behind me, dudes. You know, like literally the ocean is probably a couple of hundred feet away behind me, you know. That would be the, you know, the official name of Cartagena is Cartagena de Indies. You know, because they saw this was India. When the white man came here, they saw that they found a place to India, when in reality it was the Americas. But actually, guys, believe it or not, it was the Muslim Moors who came to Latin America before the white man did. You know, this is why when you walk around Cartagena, there's Arabic inscription in Cartagena. There are a lot of places here in Cartagena that actually have Arabic design to it. In fact, I just found out, because when you walk around this area, they, you know how tourist information, they give you like history of the location, right? So when I was walking around here a couple hours ago, it was said that the original name of Cartagena was Nuevo Andalusia. Nuevo means new Andalusia. For those of you guys who don't know anything about history, Andalusia was actually a Muslim stronghold in Spain. The name of Cartagena, where I'm at right now, the original name of this place was Nuevo Andalusia, because this reminded them of the Muslims in Andalusia. Because again, Muslims came here before the white man did, but they actually changed the name from Andalusia to Cartagena. See, what the white man in Latin America did is that they literally scrubbed the history of the Muslims in Latin America. This is why they say, oh yeah, we thought we found a new way to India. Now, bro, you didn't find a new way to India. You simply did what the Muslims did before you, and you scrubbed their history, claiming it was your history. See, this is why if you guys come to Colombia, people here look far more like me than they look like white people, you know? So what does that tell you, dudes, okay? At the end of the day, guys, the Muslims made it to Latin America before the white man did. All the white man did was simply follow in our footsteps and pretty much literally whitewash history and say, oh yeah, we're the ones who discovered America. No, we Muslims discovered it long before you guys did. But that's not the point of the video. The point of the video, guys, is that if you're a passport bro, you're a Muslim still, You know, if you're a passport bro taking life advice from a retarded kid who cuts hair for $2.99 in Texas, you already know that you're imbecile and that you're fugly. If you're a Muslim cell and you have to take life advice from some sort of Muslim alpha male chorus where you're told that, you know, to make woman love you, you have to hop on a horse, wear a fucking rag on your fucking head and go la 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 with a sword, you pretty much know that you're short, brown, and fugly. And see, guys, this is the thing that I can't stand about Muslims, you know. All these Muslims who come onto the fucking internet and they dress up like they're fucking, they got a fucking diaper on their head. It's like, look, dude, the reason why the Prophet Muhammad wore a rag around his head is because it's fucking hot in Saudi Arabia, okay? The Arabian Peninsula is fucking hot. I've been to the Arabian Peninsula, you know. Trust me, you don't want to go to the Arabian Peninsula. You think Cartagena's bad? You think fucking Miami is bad? The Arabian Peninsula makes Cartagena and Miami look like fucking Aspen. That's how hot and horrible the Arabian Peninsula is. So yeah, of course the Prophet Muhammad had to wear a rag around his head. So the $1 trillion question is, why the fuck are all these motherfucking Muslim grifters in a fucking studio, you know, air conditioned, wearing a fucking rag around their head? Why are you doing that, bro? You know, you guys look at me. Do you guys see me fucking sporting a fake beard down to here? Do you guys see me walking around, you know, wearing a rag on my head, wearing a fucking dress? No. Why would I want to do that for you, dude? I mean, walking around in a shirt and shorts is far more convenient, far more fitting for me than walking around with a rag around my head and wearing a fucking dress, you know. It's like, this doesn't make sense, dude. But again, these are grifters, you know. They're just, it's all about grifting, guys, you know. They want to tell you, oh, we want to emulate the Prophet Muhammad. Well, for starters, you know, stop charging people for your fake courses, you know. Did the Prophet Muhammad charge people to become Muslims? No, he didn't. So why are you guys charging Muslim sales, you know, to go to your online virtual classes and your real world meetups, you know? Let me tell you, Muslim sales, something. You guys will get more knowledge, more education from my motherfucking videos than you will ever get from any of these Muslim grifters. I'm telling you guys right now, you will never ever have to buy a Muslim alpha male course. You will never ever have to meet to go to some Muslim retreat or Muslim weekend camp or any of that bullshit, dudes. And I've said this before and I'm going to say it again. Read the Quran. Read the Hadith yourself. That's what I did, dudes, okay? My secret is I read the Quran. I read the Hadith. That's my motherfucking secret, dude. I mean, look. At the end of the day, as a Jew, I'm higher IQ than the average person, okay? So I understand I have an unfair advantage. But come on, man. Why do you have to rely on fucking some grifter on the internet wearing a diaper on his head telling you guys, oh, this is how you become a good Muslim? Why can't you guys read the Quran yourself, okay? Why can't you guys read the Hadith yourself? Yeah, sure, reading the Quran, you know, might take you a whole month. Yeah, sure. Oh, reading the Hadith might take you several months or close to a year. I know that's how long it took me. But at the end of the day, guys, you guys need to understand. At the end of the day, guys, the Ummah of Muhammad is the biggest grift on the face of the planet, not the religion. This is why bad things is happening to Muslims in Palestine. This is why Muslims in Europe are now considered the scourge of the earth, okay? At the end of the day, guys, the Ummah of Muhammad is nothing but grifters and hypocrites. This is what the Ummah of Muhammad is, okay, guys? I've said this before and I'm gonna say it again. Muslims at best are useful idiots. At worst, they're grifters, scammers, and hypocrites and traitors. And we're seeing far more hypocrites and traitors in the Ummah of Muhammad now. You know, that that MMA Muslim dude, what's his name? Habib, I don't know what his name is. I could care less. He actually started making videos about Islam. Guys, I hope I'm wrong. I really, really hope I'm wrong. But Khabib, that undefeated MMA fighter, if he continues the path that I think he's gonna go on, he's gonna make more money grifting off of Islam than he would have during his entire career as an MMA fighter, dudes. At the end of the day, guys, at the end of the day, you guys gotta understand and understand this really good. A lot of Muslim grifters out there take away their grifting capabilities, and they're not good enough to flip falafel, okay? So, you take away Khabib's ability to fight. What's he good at? Nothing. This is why you hear about all these athletes shortly after ending their career, you know, they're broke. You know, if, not only are they broke, but they're in debt millions of dollars. They gotta file bankruptcy, right? Why? Because you take away their athletic ability, which... See, this is why I'm not into sports, you know. A lot of people ask me, Amr, why are you not into sports? Sports has zero, and I literally mean zero. Sports have zero benefit for you in your life, okay? Unless you can go into the sports world, make a little bit of money, and then put that money into something that makes you money. Like, for example, dudes, you know, LeBron James, he was able to make his athletic money work for him, okay? Shaquille O'Neal, he was able to make his athletic money and fame work for him. And hey, more power to them. But at the end of the day, guys, if you do not have the type of FU money that athletes like LeBron James have, then being an athlete means nothing, you know? If Habib is able to take his money and invest it into something that's gonna make him money in the real world, more power to him. It's not a fight, just loud, boisterous people coming out of a bar. They're probably a little bit drunk and tipsy. Dude, this place has a lot of fucking security and police walking around. And again, thanks to black people for fucking up Cartagena to the point where the Colombian government was like, we ain't putting up with this nigger shit no more. So, going back to what I was telling you about being an athlete, dudes, you know, being an athlete, guys, means nothing unless you are able to make some sort of money out of it and put that money into good use, you know. This is why people who win the lottery, they end up being broke or worse off after a year than they were before the lottery, you know. Guys, you need to understand, dudes, if I gave you $5,000, $500, $5 million, what can you do with that money? What can you do with that money, you know? Everybody here watching this video gotta ask themselves the question, what the fuck can you do with $5,000, $9,000? As you guys know, I had a fundraiser so I can go out and buy the server for MGTOW TV. We raised $9,000. We literally raised three times the amount of money that's required for the server, which is actually a good thing, because I'm still paying for the old server, because again, it's gonna take almost a month to take the data from the old server onto the new server, simply because we have it in raid mode, like I mentioned earlier. I want everybody here to fucking understand, when you give somebody money, what are they gonna do with that money? What are they gonna do with it? Are they gonna squander it? Are they gonna go fucking buy pussy with it? Are they gonna spend it on alcohol? Are they going to spend it on traveling? Ask yourself the trillion dollar question. What's going to happen when you give somebody money or if somebody gives you money, okay? Ask yourself that question, you know? Every day, guys, I say to myself, what happens if I make $100 a day? What happens if I make $100,000 a day? What happens if I make $1 million a day, okay? So when I got that $9,000, thanks to all of you guys who contributed, I know exactly what to do with that money. This is how high IQ people function, okay? High IQ people don't sit around on their ass, you know, hoping that fucking money is gonna fall in their pockets. They're always thinking, if I get $100, $10, $1,000, you know. Listen, there were times, guys, where I'd be walking down the street and I see $5, $10, you know. What am I gonna do with that money? What am I gonna do beneficial with that money? That's really the trillion dollar question. What am I gonna do with the $5 I just found on the ground, okay? What am I gonna do with the $9,000 that I got from, thanks to you guys, for the fundraiser? This is what everybody here has to understand. Every dollar you make, what the fuck are you gonna do beneficial with it? At the end of the day, guys, it's all about creating value. It's all about taking things to the next level, okay? Never ever squander money. Nightclubs, you're squandering money. Going to some fucking basketball game, you're squandering money, okay? This is what, you know, somebody said that, I think it was a video on MGTOW TV. Someone said, consumers spend money. Rich people make money off of consumers. If you are a consumer, you are wasting money. Look, guys, there's nothing wrong with traveling, okay? There's nothing inherently wrong with going out. But the trillion dollar question is, you guys take me for example, right? When I travel, you know how much the plane ticket was from Lauderdale to here and back? $223. And on top of that, because of Hurricane Milton, I was able to change my flight from Medellin to here in Cartagena for free. You see, you have to be very, very frugal, very, very smart with your money. For example, here in Cartagena is the most expensive city in Colombia, okay, guys? So today, when I get around Cartagena, guess what? I take the motorcycle. Why? Because the Ubers here are expensive, right? An Uber can be $8. I know some of you guys are saying, Amar, did you just say $8 or $80? $8. In Medellin, Ubers were $3 In Medellin, Uber was $3. You can get around Medellin for $3, maybe $4 at the very most. Here in Cartagena, you can get around for probably around $8. But if you take a motorcycle, you can get it around for under $2. I know some of you guys are saying, that's fucking retarded, dude. You're gonna take a motorcycle where you can get murdered, get killed. You're gonna take a motorcycle just to save $6. Yeah, I'll take a fucking motorcycle to save $2, not just $6. This is what I want everybody here to understand. At the end of the day, guys, you have to ask yourself, what do I have going for me, and how do I utilize everything going for me to the point where it's almost like 100% utilization in my favor? I don't want anybody wasting money. I don't want anybody squandering money, especially time, okay? Money you can get back, but not time. This is why I tell you guys out there, and I'm going to have to end this video because I have to order an Uber back to my Airbnb. Otherwise, I don't know how to get back there, you know. So it's like a 5-kilometer walk. It's going to take me an hour and a half to get back to my Uber. Yes, guys, you can. 5 kilometers here in fucking Medellin can cost you up to $8 on a Uber, especially when it's surging. But for $2, you can ride on a motorcycle. Yeah, I know the risk of you falling off the motorcycle, getting ran over is, you know, greatly increased compared to it taking a car. But think about it, guys. If I'm going around Cartagena 4 times a day, 4 times 2, that's $8. If I'm going around Cartagena 4 times a day with a fucking car, that's $32. Big difference, right? Big difference, you know. You can spend $8 to get around Cartagena for the day on a motorcycle, or you can spend $32, you know. That $24 difference is a big deal. That $24 difference, guys, that's fucking food. That's fucking Airbnb. That's money saved in your pocket. See, a lot of people don't think like that, you know. And that's the difference between Jews and the rest of God's creation, okay? We think bigger scale. Look, if I take an Uber once, fuck it. I'll spend $8 rather than fucking $2 by taking a motorcycle. That's totally cool. No problem there, okay? But if I'm going to be taking Uber multiple times a day, then why the fuck would I want to spend $4 times $8, okay, guys? Use your brain, all right, guys? See you in the next one. Peace.